But I want to share with you a little bit about what God is doing. First, in our own family, over this last season, it has been exciting. In January this year, by what God is doing in our kids' lives, we had the privilege of baptizing our three kids, Tim, Betty, and Zoe. And so there you can see Tim coming up out of the water and shaking and surprised, and Bethany and Zoe coming up with the bubbling of joy. And baptism is not just this thing we do sometimes. Baptism is the dividing line. We're watching it in the Islamic and the other religious communities. Once somebody is baptized, we don't even try to win them back. They've crossed over to be disciples of Christ. So in our local church, over the last 2 years, we've had over 170 people baptized. And we're a smaller church. We're not this massive place. But young people, young couples, 21, 22, 23, professional students, 18-year-old young lady, came to faith about 3 months ago in February. Gave her life to the Lord. She switched on. I got to get baptized. And so about every 2 months, we're having a baptism with 10, 12, 15 people in Addis where God is moving by his Spirit. This is our baptismal tent that covers, because if we have rain or if we have too much sun, we can still have a wonderful encounter where our young people are being baptized. And so at our church, Addis Christian Life Assembly, Ethan was part of us. Ruthie was part of us when she was with us. It's an exciting place where God is moving. In the last 2.5 years, we've had 3 building projects. We built, and we thought we had enough. We expanded to seat about 350 people. And then our Friday night Amharic teaching time with Mamusha became too small. And so we're like, what are we going to do? So we had these tents outside and people that we can't really hear. And so then these guys are like, we got to build an expansion. We're saying, it's a lot of money to build an expansion. No, we have an idea. When somebody tells you they have an idea, it can be dangerous. And they came and they said, no, let's start raising money. And by the grace of God, from within our local congregation, all the money to build that expansion, and it only took 6 months, and now we seat around 800 people, and on our Friday evening Amharic lessons, teaching, we're going to the book of Matthew, God just started to spark people's hearts. We came to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, you might know, is Jesus sending out his disciples. Jesus was sending people out. And our church got captivated. What is God saying to us? What is the Spirit of God saying to us? Sending people out. What's our responsibility? Started this stirring of the Spirit. We're called to be on mission with God. What are we going to do? Business guy came, wants to have coffee. I don't know what to do. I'm bursting. Something's going on. By the Spirit of God, he was being challenged. And a sister, she came and, I don't know what God is saying, but he's stirring me. Help us. And so we decided we need to have our own Ethiopian church mission program. Long story short, we raised about $15 million, about around 300,000, no, 30,000. Trying to do calculations in my mind. About 30,000 US dollars in a month. And have commitments to send 106 church planters every month. And it's coming in from within. You know, you guys have been sending those church planters for many years. You've been partnering with us to see this. And the fruit is coming as workers are being sent out. Long stories. It will take too long to tell you what's all unfolding. But I want to let you know God is at work. And that's one local church. There's thousands that have been started across Africa that are being spurred on to the mission of God. Like our friends in Zimbabwe that have said, we are called to partner in mission. What do we do? We've never sent anybody internationally. How do we send people? We brought 2 of their young brothers that have a sense of calling to North Africa. They came into Ethiopia. They went into North Africa. Now they're working with their families. By the grace of God, in September, we'll be sending two families from Zimbabwe to North Africa. They're partnering with us on the mission of God to be co-laborers with Jesus Christ. God is on the move. Again, in Ethiopia and from Ethiopia to the areas around, we've been having these incredible movements of God's Spirit among Islamic people. And one of the most celebrating moments for me was this past February when more than 420 women were baptized. Now, in the Islamic world, they're separate. And so, Vaughn, if you show the next one there, this is a baptism where you have all these women in because the man can't be alone with the woman in the baptismal tank. And our brother is baptizing one out of 429 women who have come to know Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. God is at work. We come on this Pentecost Sunday, we look back, we get excited, we see the book of Acts, and our hearts are like, if there could only be the book of Acts, freedom. The book of Acts is today. God continues to move by His Spirit. In Acts 1:8, we know, we always go back there, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. You think when Jesus spoke that to his disciples, there was almost no one. The disciples were small. Acts tells us there was about 120 gathered. Very small percentage of the world. Fast forward, Vaughn, if you jump to the next one, you can kind of get a glimpse of what it was looking like as this started to spread out by the Spirit of God from that Jerusalem, that Judea, that Samaria, and then getting to the ends of the earth. But fast forward to today, we haven't finished the task. If you see this map, you see these red dots. Every red dot is a people group that has little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't have a Christian in their town. They don't have access to the Bible. There's nobody to tell them about Jesus. There's no church for them to find. This is the mission of God that needs to be completed. 7,000 plus people groups. And you look across and you see that black window that's on there. There's a few other outliers outside of that, but by and large, everybody's in that black window. And you see this Indian subcontinent just littered. Over 3,500 people groups alone in the Indian subcontinent that have yet to hear. Our call from Jesus Christ is to be on mission with Him. And I want to draw your attention past the opportunity to the scripture and what Jesus might be saying to you today through His Holy Spirit. He continues to speak through His Holy Spirit. If we look at Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That always captivates me. They wanted to preach. The Spirit of the God said no. Spirit of God forbid them from preaching. Now, you might think like, I want to do something, but God's stopping me. There might be a reason. Verse 7. And when they had come up from Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Everywhere they're trying to go, God is stopping them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Verse 9, we love this. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging them and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, see that word? We. Not Paul, not I. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding God had called us to preach the gospel. God continues to speak. You see, Acts 2, we get excited by. The Spirit is poured out. We kind of think, wow, it's a new season. It's a new day. It's awesome. But God continues to speak. We are still in the days of Acts. God is moving by His Spirit. This past April, 7,000 Ethiopian believers from an Islamic background volunteered their month to go out and share the hope of Jesus Christ. We need to tell others about Christ. I will give a month. Go travel with my own money to send the message of hope. God is still speaking. But when I see this, I get excited thinking, man, this is going to be a good season. Right? Like, God has spoken to us in a vision. This is going to be good. Anybody else have that feeling? Right? Like, when God does this kind of miraculous calling, wow, we are going to see something happen. This new day is going to be amazing. And that's often what we think when we come to mission. But the reality is, when God speaks, it's not always easy. See, they get on the boat. They're going across. They're like, yeah, God's called us into Macedonia. And they come to this amazing city, Philippi. You know the story. Acts chapter 16, a little further on in verse 14. And they one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she was baptized. She was separated. She joined with Christ in death. She urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. But then, verse 22, if we jump a little further, the crowd joined in attacking them. And the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. Wait! Jesus had called us. What is this beating? What's the rods about? I'm on mission with Jesus. You know, if you pay attention, this is the reality. When Jesus speaks, it's not always easy. They had inflicted many blows upon them, and they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. It's not what we think mission looks like. But you remember all those little red dots? They're little red dots because they're not easy to access. They're the places when God speaks, it's hard. It's not easy. There's physical attack. There's physical challenges, road blockages, security issues, military and government opposition. Barriers are erected. It's a place of battle. And yet, in the midst of that battle, God has called us to go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Ends of the earth. And it's this persecution that gets us sometimes confused. A few of our church planters were killed this past year. Three going out were attacked and murdered because Jesus has called them. And we're kind of thinking, like, we should avoid the risky stuff. But Jesus has called them. Some of our team members in our Africa and the Middle East region had to leave their country of service because the local believers and some of their team were arrested. This is the reality of the mission of God. We are invited to be with Jesus on mission. But when he speaks, it's not always easy. It's not this smooth road that we might expect. But The difficulty is not the goal. Because what we see is fruitful ministry doesn't always look like we expect. If we come to Acts 16 and we come a little further, 25, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, God's at work. I don't think any of us think this would be a good prison ministry. I mean, I'm not signing up for that one, right? But in this ministry, God comes in because their hearts are searching for him. Where about you, Jesus? They're worshiping him. Like we're singing this morning. And Tracy, I was laughing. You're wanting to just keep going. Why? Because when we're worshiping, God's going to be doing something. And as they're worshiping, there was this earthquake and the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Like, just try to picture that. I try to picture this Paul in prison, in chains, these stocks on his feet, and all of a sudden it's open. And he's like, okay, let's keep singing. Tracy, you'd be at home. And then the jailer's ready to kill himself. Don't stop. Don't do that. And what happens? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's something. And we don't think this would be a strategic plan. Right? We're not going to plan to go get beaten, put in prison, and then have this miracle happen. We can't plan for miracles. But God is a God of miracles. And when the gospel is proclaimed, expect miracles. We expect those. We have a brother that went out into the southeastern part of Ethiopia, the region of Somaliland, Somali region of Ethiopia. And in that area, he begins to proclaim Christ. People are very resistant. He comes into this town, and there's this woman who's tied up in chains. And it's not uncommon in many small towns that mad people get tied up so that they can't cause harm to themselves and others. And she's screaming and shouting and cursing, and he goes to her and he sits down and he begins to talk with her. And she sits down with her legs crossed and he begins to tell her about Jesus. Jesus can set you free. Jesus can heal you. As he tells her, she said, "What can I do?" He prays for her, totally set free in her right mind. As this is unfolding, the town is watching. People are coming. People are coming closer. They know this lady. And they're switched on. Hey, what's going on here? A miracle has happened. Jesus is known. A church of more than 50 is planted in a day. Why? Because our God is a miracle worker. The Spirit of the Lord goes with us. And he goes into the hard places where the gospel can be accomplished. Now, this jailer, he ministers to them. He does this work. And then the magistrates want to let him go. Just let him go. No. They encourage him to get out of the city. They come and, please don't do us any harm. I know you're a Roman citizen. And Paul has to move on. And as they move on, they go to another place. It's also not awesome. You know the story. Opposition is a constant marker to the mission of God. If we are going to those red dots represent people. 3.2 billion people. They represent people who don't have a chance to gather like this, who don't have a chance to come off the street and hear about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They don't have a chance to have somebody come and share a glass of water in the name of Jesus. They don't have a Bible to read about who Jesus is. Opposition is a constant marker of the mission of God. In a place in northeast Ethiopia, we've had a movement in underground churches taking off. There's a community, I mean a bigger area, not one local, a bigger area with over 200 house churches that were started last year in a special outreach program where family members and relatives and people in neighboring communities had come into this big area. These 200 house churches were facing persecution. They said, no. Our communities need to know we're not just these small fringe people in a corner. We need to have a public gathering. And when we say house churches, it's multiple wives, many children. So a house church with maybe two families can be 50. It's taking a little while to do the math, right? And so when a couple of house churches come together to form a public gathering, you can have two house churches and you can have 75 to 150 people gathering. And they said, we want to have public gatherings to tell people who Jesus is. And that we're not just a fringe. We are the people of Jesus. 70 churches were planted among an unreached people group. And they're standing up telling everybody, we follow Jesus, the Messiah. Opposition, it's constant. It doesn't stop. When I showed you some of those baptism pictures at the beginning in our home church, we're in Addis. You think like Addis has no persecution. It's a big city. But the persecution is for our young ladies, 19, 20, 22, 25, 27, where their families are hostile to them. And so we had a young couple get married. Both their families despised that they came to follow Jesus. Their families would not come to their wedding. So as a church, we came around. We're going to do everything we can do as the family of God to share the love of Christ that they will know beyond any doubt. Their decision to follow Jesus brought them into a family. Some of those young ladies have been beaten. One young lady, she got baptized on Sunday. Sunday night, her husband said, if you're going to be a Christian, I'm leaving you. Monday morning, she found out she was pregnant. Walk around the family of God. Opposition is a constant. Paul saw it over and over again. Paul goes to Thessalonica, and he comes in, and as his custom, it says in Acts 17, on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. He's proclaiming Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Spirit has been leading him. The Spirit has been bringing him. And he has this pattern. He goes to the synagogues. And then when they're not all joining, he goes out and he starts to witness to the Greeks. And verse 5 says, but the Jews were jealous. And taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. Wow. The persecution continues. And it's not unusual. See, we kind of wonder, what's happening? Why are hard things happening? Anybody like that? Because God's at work. When God's at work, there's going to be hard things happening. When you're telling people about Jesus, when you're getting behind what God's doing, when His Spirit is leading you, like He led Paul, you're going to have some opposition. But what happens? God finds ways through your life to show Jesus. He's finding ways. And so the brothers in Thessalonica, they grab Paul and Silas, they say, get away to Berea. And they send him on to Berea, and he arrived, and Paul again goes to the Jewish synagogue. Many of them believed, and not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. I love this. Men and women, women of high standing, coming to faith in Christ. But then they heard in Thessalonica, hey, those guys went to Berea, and they come to agitate and stir up the crowds as well. Jesus continues to find ways to be displayed because the Spirit is at work. The Spirit is pointing us. He's showing us. He's telling us, there's Jesus, the Savior of the world, There's Jesus, the resurrected one. Jesus will be proclaimed. And if you won't, if I won't, God will use someone else or something else. In Ethiopia, we have a number of leaders. Their encounter with Christ was not through somebody telling them. It's through dreams and visions. But it's like Paul. This Paul we're talking about. You know his encounter with Jesus? We go back to Acts chapter 9. We see him meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road, and we kind of like, I wish I knew Jesus like that. I don't want to know Jesus that way. Because it seems to me, my observation, not a biblical truth, my observation, anybody that has a vision of Christ has a hard life. You need that vision to sustain you when the persecution comes high. When the persecution rises up, you know, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt because Jesus appeared to me. But Jesus is inviting you and me to be the ones to go, the ones to share, the ones to tell. If we won't, he will still make himself known. But he'll invite us in. And so Paul continues going out. He's been in all these places in Macedonia, and he's moving on. They send him out of Berea. He comes to Athens. He comes to Athens, and by the Spirit of God, he has this insight how to tell these philosophers. Now you think about this. He's telling Jews. He's telling Greeks. Now he's come to this philosophical Mecca, and he's come into the inner court at Mars Hill. And on Mars Hill, he begins to tell them about Jesus Christ, this God that they worship without knowing. Jesus will be proclaimed. Jesus will be proclaimed. For the sake of time, I won't read the entire narrative. You know it in Acts 16. It's there. Jesus is being spoken. The reality, we have people all over the world that have different backgrounds. And we, you and I, as people of the Spirit, need to hear what the Spirit's saying so we can speak to what their biggest need is. In North Ethiopia, there's an Islamic group of women crying out to understand what does Jesus say about divorce. Now, you and I probably don't think about that too much, right? It's not kind of on the top of our mind. We're going to talk to an unbeliever. We're not going to say, you know, Jesus didn't like divorce. That's not probably going to be our message, is it? But these women who have no rights came and they said to our young leaders, what does your Jesus say about divorce? And one of our brothers, quickened by the Spirit, he says, Jesus doesn't want divorce. It's the hardness of our heart that breaks that covenant. Jesus is not for divorce. We want to follow that guy. Over 520 women gave their life to Christ because Jesus was against divorce. Now, we don't think that's an evangelistic message, right? But that was the hope because they had no rights. They had no opportunity. That brought them hope. And you and I would be saying, hey, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he died and rose again? Like, you're from an Islamic background, you need to come to these things. Instead of saying, hey, meet Jesus today and let's walk this discipleship journey. Why? Because his Holy Spirit is at work. His Holy Spirit is at work. And it's not just in you and me. He's already at work in those people that we're going to meet. Those people that you're going to encounter this week, Jesus is already at work. The Spirit of God is working in those hearts. We could continue on, Acts 18, we go into Corinth and we see Paul continues this missionary journey. He continues to be led by the Spirit. All that tells us is the mission of God continues. He's not done. Paul might be done. Some of our historic people might be done. People we've looked up to come to an end date. We all have an end date, right? Best before. But what's our life before the best before date? How am I investing in the mission of God? What is the Spirit of God saying to me? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? This Holy Spirit, he's a missionary spirit. It's the missionary Spirit of God empowering us to make disciples to the ends of the earth. What is the Spirit of God saying to you? What is he asking you to do? You see those 7,000 plus dots? How will they hear unless somebody tells them? How will the 3+ billion people know Jesus unless somebody tells them? You might say, hey, God hasn't asked me to do that. No problem. What has God asked you to do? What is the Spirit of God speaking to you today? What has he been speaking to you? Maybe not in this moment, maybe last week, maybe last month, maybe last year. And our hearts get a little bit nervous, like, wait a second, that's going to cost me a lot. It cost Jesus everything. And then he freely gives us his Holy Spirit. I didn't know all these young people that shared. This young sister that's a nurse or nursing student. What's God saying to you from that encounter? Like, you got to walk into something most of us don't get the opportunity to walk into. You're playing football on a 45-degree angle, keep the ball out of the gutter. And I suspect the gutter's not very clean, that's why they want the ball out. That's my... Might not be accurate to your context, but that would be my perspective. And we just keep it out of there. Well, what's God saying about your football skills? Athletics. Weightlifting. You say, well, these are just little fool around things. Is that what God has given you to go and connect with people to share the hope of Jesus Christ? See, we think, like, I'm not a preacher. Well, most of us aren't preachers. But we're all called to make disciples. So what is the Spirit of God saying to you about your gifts, your talents, your skills, your employment? What's the Spirit of God saying to you? Worship team, would you come? I want us to take a moment as we reflect. What is the missionary Spirit of God saying to you? You saw those dots, and we could spend hours looking at them, and you can go and look at every specific dot. There's a people group, there's a language, there's statistics, there's data. It's all there. That's not the point. You can do that. The point today, what is the missionary Spirit of God saying to you? We just came out of General Conference. This past week, we had General Conference in Niagara Falls. 22 years ago, General Conference was in Victoria. It was at that General Conference I was wrestling. What's God saying to me? What's the timing? And I heard God say very clearly, I want you to go to Ethiopia. I'd been. I thought that was part of my future. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. The next year, Teresa and I were in Ethiopia together. We've been there now these 20-something years. Why? Because the Spirit of God still speaks. It's not easy. It's not a smooth road, but the Spirit of God speaks. So my brother, my sister, what is the Spirit of God saying to you? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Spirit of the living God. The one who spoke into existence all that is. We pause before you this morning. Say, Spirit of the living God, speak. Missionary Spirit of God, speak. Speak to your children. Invite each of us into your mission and how you want us to live out this calling to make disciples of all people. Spirit of the living God, I pray over this congregation this morning. I pray over our children that are in their training time right now. Spirit of God, speak. Spirit of God, speak. This morning our hearts are open to say, here am I, send me. I'll say yes to you, God. I'll say yes to your call. I'll say yes to your will. I'll say yes to your voice. Spirit of God, speak. In these quiet moments as we pray and contemplate, God's speaking to you right now. I want to pray for you. If God's speaking to you about your responsibility in His mission, we want to pray for you. You just raise your hand. You don't have to come to the front. Just where you are, just raise your hand. The missionary Spirit of God is at work. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Spirit of the living God, you see these hands that are raised. Where you are speaking today, come, Holy Spirit. By the power of the resurrected Savior, do a work in each one of these lives. Those that you are calling, that you're inviting in, that you've spoken to, seal this call in their hearts. Spirit of God, come alongside, strengthen them, quicken them to take steps in obedience to you. Empower as only you can do. Father, for the rest that are here this morning, those that are online, continue to speak, not only in this moment, but in this week and in the weeks and the days and the months ahead. Spirit of the living God, speak to your people and call us into partnering with you in your mission so that every tribe, every tongue, every language will be discipled to celebrate around the throne of God. In Jesus' name we pray.